Thank you, Blessing Njonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, February 20th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Members of the National Youth Alliance, Youth Action Alliance, demonstrated in Harare today demanding the immediate resignation of the chairperson of the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, Rita Makarau, to pave way for a truly independent commission.
We are tired of Makarau's electoral fraud that has been taking in our place since she has been installed and inaugurated as the chairperson.
Expelled former ZANU-PF Mashonaland West chairman Themba Moleskwa says he has accepted his fate but is finding comfort in his nemesis, Information Minister Jonathan Moyo, who has bounced back into the mix after being thrown out of the party in 2005.
I think it reflects the complexity of sanctions. One hand, we see the desire of the European Union to re-engage with Zimbabwe. At the same time, they have problems readmitting Mugabe as a friend.
And the European Union renews targeted sanctions against President Robert Mugabe and his wife Grace and the Zimbabwe defense industries.
Members of the National Youth Action Alliance demonstrated in Harare today, demanding the immediate resignation of the chairperson of the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, Rita Makarau, to pave way for what they say should be a truly independent commission. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from the capital.
Close to 100 youths marched from townhouse to the offices of the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, chanting slogans and blowing whistles. The protesters were carrying banners and placards that were calling on the ZEC chairperson Rita Makarau to step down. Upon arrival at the ZEC headquarters, the demonstrators were locked out by security details at the institution, although one of their members was already inside the building where he delivered a petition to Makarau's office. One of the politicians who signed the petition, former St. Mary's legislator Job Scala, addressed the protesters and called for Makarau to step down for allegedly failing to run the disputed 2013 elections, as well as failing to abide by a commission's constitutional obligation to register people as voters.
We have come here to demonstrate to the whole world and the whole nation that the people of Zimbabwe are quite aware and quite oblivious of Makarau's shenanigans to rig elections in this country. We are tired of Makarau's electoral fraud that has been taking in our place since she has been installed and inaugurated as the chairperson of the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission.
Scala said Makarau should resign immediately, adding that the demonstrations would not stop until she and her fellow commissioners step aside.
We have come here to demonstrate that we can no longer tolerate the rigging machinations anymore. We are prepared to fight Makarau until she's gone.
Another activist who addressed the protesters is Gilbert Mutubuki, president of the Zimbabwe National Students Union, who doubles as the chairperson of the National Youth Action Alliance. Mutubuki said Zimbabweans will not participate in the 2018 elections without a new voters' roll compiled by an independent electoral commission.
Our demands are very clear.
Yeah.
In 2018, you're going to have an election.
Yeah.
Yes, and according to the constitution, that should be independent from the Minister of
Yeah.
For now, it is still under attack. And the people are not registering as according to the constitution.
Yeah.
The young people of this country is that. Come 2018 election,
yes.
We are very clear, all people with IDs, national IDs, should vote.
Yes.
We don't want to use the voter registration because it is not owned by ZEC. It is owned by Topai Wamtene, the Red Star General, and it is illegal. It is not according to the constitution. Ahoy, my comrades, ahoy!
Ahoy,
my comrades, ahoy!
Meanwhile, Makarau told the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on Justice, Legal and Parliamentary Affairs this week that her commission will take full charge of the Chirumanzu Zimbabwe and Mount Darwin West by-elections set for March 27. She told the committee that her commission was responsible for the compilation of the voters' roll that will be used in those two by-elections. After petitioning Makarau, the demonstrators took their protest to the streets and headed to Parliament, where they were chased away by heavily armed police details before submitting a copy of their petition. Apart from Scala, other senior politicians that signed the petition are MDC founding president Morgan Tsvangirai, MKD leader Simba Makoni, and former finance minister Tendai Biti of the MDC Renewal team. In another elections-related matter, Chief Justice Godfrey Chijigau Siku today appointed a team of four judges as judges of the Electoral Court for a period of 6 months. The appointed judges are Chinembiri Bunu, Tendai Uchena, Martin Makonese, and Andrew Mutema. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Thanks, Thomas. Expelled former ZANU-PF Mashonaland and West Chairman Themba Mliswa says he has accepted his fate and is finding comfort in his nemesis, Information Minister Jonathan Moyo, who was thrown out of ZANU-PF but has found his way back and is now sitting in the party's supreme decision-making body, the Politburo. Mliswa told VOA Studio 7 that the ASEPIC minister now inspires him. Moyo was expelled from ZANU-PF in 2005 after defying President Robert Mugabe to stand as an independent in parliamentary elections. But he bounced back in 2009 and Mr. Mugabe picked him for the second time around as information minister. The party's Politburo expelled Mliswa and former Secretary for Administration Didmus Mutasa on Wednesday, accusing them of insubordination. Mliswa, who's also the Urungwe West lawmaker, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu the people in his constituency appreciate the work he has put in as he tried to improve their lives.
Listen, what the work I've done in Urungwe West is good enough for the next 10 years. It will be very difficult for any person to outdo what I've done because I was truly committed to the people there. They're good people. They've stood by me and they deserve a better life. They deserve transformation in the basics of life. I know they are not happy, they are grieved, but I'll tell them that, you see, that's politics at the end of the day. And then I'll give them examples of people like Jonathan Moyo, who expelled, but he came back into the party, into the Central Committee, into the Politburo. He is now Minister of Information and is one of the kingpins of the party.
But Honorable Mliswa, would you say your relationship with Mr. Mtasa is proving to be toxic in the party?
Listen, he's my uncle, and he happens to be my grandmother's brother, and it's something that I cannot separate in terms of our relationship. He's been in the party for a long time. He joined the party before I was born. I never joined ZANU-PF, yes, because of him. He was surprised to also learn that I was involved in ZANU-PF, but I also always read about him being ZANU-PF. So you can't also, you know, if you have to be honest, divorce that, because I think he's taken a position of principle as far as he's concerned, and he wants to fight that cause. But of course, anything linked to him is equally linked to me. I've never been given an opportunity, neither was I given an opportunity to to also give the side of my story.
That was expelled former ZANU-PF Marshall and West Chairman Themba Mliswa speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
ZANU-PF spokesman Simon Kayamoyo was said to be out of town, but Blessing reached ZANU-PF Politburo member and lawyer Munyaradzi Paul Mangwana.
They are completely wrong. They must appreciate that they went wrong. They should appeal if they think that the disciplinary committee did not handle their matters properly. There are internal appeal processes within the party. Finally, they can appeal to Congress if they think that the procedures will not be followed. But for them to say they don't recognize Congress when they took part in preparing for it is the very reason why they've been expelled from the party, because they are not honest members of the party. They are denigrating the party to which they say they are loyal.
But Mr. Mangwana, why these summary expulsions without affording the people the chance to come and defend themselves?
You can only be heard if there is some doubt that you may not have committed the offence. But if you come out in the press insulting the president, if you address people insulting the party, what other hearing do you want?
And lastly, what is your response to what they are alleging, that the center of power in the party has shifted, the First Lady is now in control?
That is not true. The First Lady is part of a team. She's Secretary for Women's Affairs, and all decisions are made collectively by the structures of the party.
That was a ZANU-PF Politburo member and lawyer Munyaradzi Paul Mangwana speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
The European Union has renewed until February next year targeted sanctions against Zimbabwe President Robert Mugabe and his wife Grace. Mr. Mugabe and his wife are subject to a travel ban imposed by the EU a decade ago, while the Zimbabwe defense industries cannot trade with any country in the bloc. The announcement today comes on the back of the EU's decision to start supporting Harare directly, starting with $270 million agreed on this week. Political analyst and director for Center for Natural Resources Governance Farai Maguhu tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that the EU should have lifted the sanctions, saying the measures are doing little, if anything, to put pressure on Mr. Mugabe.
I think it reflects the complexity of sanctions. One hand, we see the desire of the European Union to re-engage with Zimbabwe. I think they've made it very clear that they want to engage with Zimbabwe. At the same time, they have problems readmitting Mugabe as a friend, as an ally, as a statesman. So we see that President Mugabe and his wife are now a huge stumbling block between the relations of Zimbabwe and the rest of the world. Perhaps we should also look at the fact that at first we had over 100 people on sanctions list on the EU travel ban, and nearly all of them have been removed, except the president, his wife, and the Zimbabwe defense industries. So I think it shows that President Mugabe, maybe because of his style of leadership, his attitude towards the rest of the world, it shows us how much this has affected our relations with other countries.
That was political analyst and director for Center for Natural Resources Governance Farai Maguhu in Mutare.
A presidential spokesman, George Charamba, was not reachable for comment. He did not pick his phone, but ZANU-PF activist and political commentator Morris Ngwenya tells the Studio 7's Gibbs Dube it's not surprising that the EU has decided to renew the sanctions against Mr. Mugabe and the Zimbabwe defense industries.
The European Union does not like someone who tell them the hard fixes they are in their face. So they try by all means to frustrate President Mugabe and to keep him at bay, but because he's the only leader in the world who can tell them right in their face to stop all the injustices that they do against other nations.
So the 28 member states have actually indicated that they carried out a review, and after everything was done and taken into account Zimbabwe's political developments, they are saying nothing has changed to merit a final lifting of restrictions. So what's the meaning of this?
They haven't been given those conditions whereby they can do whatever they want with the wealth of Zimbabwe, and they haven't been a reversal of the empowerment that President Mugabe has done, because what they want is they do not like the majority to be empowered. They want to own the resources. They want to own the land. So as long as that is not reversed in their favor, they still don't consider it a positive move, which in essence is what exactly the people of Zimbabwe are against, because they like the empowerment that that President Mugabe has done to his people. And, well, I don't think the EU really has any impact on Zimbabwe.
Why do you think the EU should actually lift these sanctions?
It's because they want resources in Zimbabwe. That is why we saw in the past week they were coming to negotiate for business deals, and they were coming with some investment packages. So they need Zimbabwe, and they must therefore amend their relations with President Mugabe.
That was a ZANU-PF activist and political commentator Maurice Ngwenya speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
Direct from Washington, the voice of America, VOA.
We take a look at regional and international news.
Somali officials say the country's deputy prime minister was wounded and at least 10 others killed in an attack by Al-Shabaab militants on a hotel in the capital, Mogadishu.
Libyan officials say at least 30 people have been killed and dozens more wounded in at least 3 car bombings in the northeastern part of the country.
And 2 massive cyclones smashed into northern Australia today in a first for the country, the Weather Bureau said. The Bureau of Meteorology says this is the first time 2 severe tropical cyclones have crossed Australia within 24 hours.
As President Robert Mugabe turns 91 tomorrow, MDC team members in several parts of the world, including here in the United States, will be protesting outside Zimbabwe embassies to express their displeasure at Mr. Mugabe's continuing rule. The Zimbabwe embassies that have been earmarked to be staked out include those in South Africa, Australia, the United Kingdom, and Washington, D.C. Chairman of the MDCT in the U.S., Dan Moyo, told Studio 7 that the demonstrations are expected to encourage foreign embassies to put pressure on Mr. Mugabe to resign.
Yes, we are gathering as Zimbabweans tomorrow at the Zimbabwe Embassy in Washington, D.C. on New Hampshire Avenue. We'll be meeting there at around 2 o'clock. The intention is for us to demonstrate against Mugabe that it is time for him to go. The theme of our demonstration is Mugabe must go to save Zimbabwe. And we're encouraging as many Zimbabweans to join us and be part of this demonstration, because I think it is high time that Mugabe realized that he is now a liability to the country of Zimbabwe.
But Mr. Moyo, you have been holding these kinds of demonstrations for many years now. Can you tell us what makes you think that they will make any difference?
The demonstrations have been effective in a lot of ways. If you realize Mugabe's top brass, Mugabe included his wife Grace Mugabe and some of his top inner circle, are not allowed to visit other progressive nations like the USA, UK, France, and all those places. They are banned from going shopping using looted money that they've been looting from the country.
That was Dan Moyo, the chairman of the MDCT here in the United States. And coming up, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The surest way to pull people out of poverty is to provide them with an education. In fact, according to the World Bank, education is one of the most powerful instruments for reducing poverty and inequality, and lays a foundation for sustained economic growth. For every extra school year completed, a worker's earnings increase by 10%. It is no wonder, then, that some of the poorest countries in the world also have the highest levels of illiteracy, particularly among women. So, for example, 73% of the adult population of South Sudan is illiterate, and fewer than half of school-aged children were enrolled in school last year. Only 3 in 10 secondary students are girls. This is partly due to the ongoing conflict in South Sudan. Some 1,200 schools have closed in the most conflict-affected states, while 90 schools are occupied by fighting forces or internally displaced persons. On top of that, about 400,000 children have dropped out due to the crisis. Increasing access to education is an important part of the United States' strategy to eliminate extreme poverty. That is why the United States currently supports 6 education projects in South Sudan, worth more than $165 million. The newest of these is a partnership between the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, and BRAC, the world's largest non-governmental development organization. The partnership aims to provide quality basic education to children in South Sudan who are currently not attending school. The United States is proud to help ensure that South Sudan's children achieve that potential to lead this country tomorrow.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And Chris, in sports news, the guessing game on what defending champions Dynamos and bitter rivals Capes United will look like this season comes to an end Sunday. Reporter Michael Cariati tells us how.
The two sets of the team's fans have been playing a guessing game on who will feature for their team this season. But that guessing game comes to an end at Rufaro Stadium Sunday when the fans get the opportunity to watch their new crop of heroes. Dimbare and Makepekepe will unleash their new signings in the $25,000 Sino Zimbabwe Challenge Cup, which will also be the real test for their new coaches, Jeff Mandigora and Mike Harrison. A lot has changed at the two rival clubs during the off-season. The first being the coming in of Coach Mandigora in place of the departed Kalisto Pasua, and the same happening at the Green Machine, where Harrison has replaced Taurai Mangwiro, who has crossed the floor to Harare City. Both teams have also lost a number of their star players, with Dimbare losing Devon Chapa, Chapa Rusike, Roderick Mtuma, and Thomas Magorimbo. The Green Machine have also, on their part, lost Kenneth Bulanji, Dominic Chungwa, and the soccer star of the year finalist, Tendai Samanja. What is interesting is the fact that Capes United have benefited from Dynamos by signing Mutuma, while Dynamos have taken away from Capes United, Bulaji and Chungwa. The winners of the Challenge Cup will receive 15,000, while the runners-up will get 10,000. But Capes United spokesperson, Joyce Kapota, is not worried about the threat that Dynamos poses, but is more concerned with the match officiating. The two teams met 3 times last season. Dynamos won 2 of the matches, with the other one ending in a draw. However, Dynamos goalkeeper Scott Gibson Zazi is not reading much into that. He says this is a new game altogether. Newly appointed Capes United coach Mark Harrison will have his first test of the Harare Derby and is aware of what is on offer. He says he is here to win every game, even if it is a friendly match. Last season, Capes United did Dynamos a favor after the Green Machine beat the then-league leader ZPC Kariba 3-2 on the last day of play to end Dimbare the league title. But that friendship began and ended there, as both teams desperately need the $15,000 on offer, especially this off-season period when there is no income to talk about. Meanwhile, Zimbabweans are celebrating the cricket team's performance at the ongoing International Cricket Council World Cricket Cup Down Under, where they bagged 2 points and a cool $4,000 in their 4-wicket win over the United Arab Emirates at the Thurston Oval Ground in Australia. The Cricket World Cup runs until March 29. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Thanks, Michael. And now to music. American-based Chimurenga music icon Thomas Mukanya Mafumo has released his much-awaited album Danger Zone, New Songs of the Struggle. The 12-track album has songs that lament the current plight of Zimbabweans, Nigerians, and Syrians. In one of the tracks, Chikwereti or Credit, Mafumo blasts the so-called mega deals from China and other countries, saying there's nothing to celebrate as the loans are an albatross on the neck of Zimbabweans. Mafumo speaks with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu.
Danger Zone is about the situation that we are facing in this world today. There is a war going on in this world today. As you know, there's a war going on in Syria, the war going on in Iraq, Nigeria, and the world is upside down today. So Danger Zone is all about that. People are dying. Poor people, in fact, poor people are dying.
There's also a track titled Atidi Politics, We Don't Want Politics. Why should we not love politics?
Because, you know, politicians tend to just, you know, talk about themselves, and yet they are not doing anything for the rest of their people. So, I mean, politics becomes useless because we don't want politics. We want actually to satisfy the people that we are supposed to be looking after. Right now, we are not looking after them. We are busy talking about politics. Now, that's not the way we should actually do things. We have to make sure that we look after our people before we go into politics.
Another track, it's titled Chikwereti. Very interesting. Credit. What is this all about?
Yeah, Chikwereti, we have heard a lot of, you know, government saying that we got friends, we have been given help by such a country or by China. We got help from China, we got help from England, we got help from America. It's not just a help. When they give you their money, they want their money back. So don't think they're just giving you, that money for nothing. Something for something.
And they charge interest?
Yeah, they charge interest.
One of my favorite tracks, the song Zimbabwe. What is this all about?
Zimbabwe, we want all Zimbabweans to put their heads together and try and develop Zimbabwe itself. Let's forget about our political affiliation and be as one, be united, start rebuilding the country. And we have to fight against corruption. There's a lot of corruption in Zimbabwe today that must be stopped.
That was the music of Thomas Mafumo bringing our show to an end. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Sandra Nyera. Just before I go, just to remind you to stay tuned to Live Talk. Today, our discussion is about Gugurahundi. Good night, Zimbabwe.